Amen. Hey, we're going to go to Judges this morning. If you want to turn to it, we will put the verses on the screen. But we're going to go to Judges chapter number 13. And I am going to read a rather long passage this morning, actually. But it's a narrative, it's a story, and you kind of really need the whole story to get where we're going. I'm a little later than I normally am with getting to God's Word in these stream services. We started a little later this morning. But hang with me, and I'll do my best to squeeze this in. But I do believe it's a good word to equip us as a church today. And I want you to catch this. It's the story where we're told where Samson's parents find out that they're going to have a baby. Now, that's always an exciting time for folks to find out that they're going to have a baby. But the way they find out is quite a bit different than the way any of us ever found out that we were going to have a baby. So let me read through this with you. Judges chapter number 13, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, all 24 verses, before I pray, because you really need the whole story to fit what I want to encourage you with today. So let's jump in that together. It says this: "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazirite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hand of the Philistines.'" Samson couldn't get haircuts also, but it wasn't because all the barbers were closed. He wasn't allowed to as a Nazirite. It says this: "Then the woman went to her husband and told him, 'A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and I didn't tell him, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, "You will become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazirite of God from the womb until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'Pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field, but her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.' Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, 'Are you the man who talked to my wife?' 'I am,' he said. So Manoah asked him, 'When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work?' The angel of the Lord answered, 'Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord." That changed things, because obviously originally Manoah was planning on making some curry goat with rice and peas, but now it was going to have to be a sacrifice. But let's keep going. "Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name so that we may honor you when your word comes true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding,'" or it is wonderful, that Hebrew word kind of says there. "Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized it was an angel of the Lord. 'We are doomed to die,' he said to his wife. "We have seen God." But his wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this account. It's a pretty dramatic one. I pray that through it, Lord God, you would not simply help us to learn a story of something that happened as a real life event so many years ago, but that you would help us to glean truth from this that we could apply in our lives, Lord God, that we will live for you, that we'll be able to live for you more effectively, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, from your home or wherever, if you would pray with me. Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Manoah thought he was finished. He thought he was done. It's all over. It's all over. He believed that what he had seen was more than a mortal man could see. He had learned along the way that you couldn't see God and live. And what he had seen, he understood it as an angel of the Lord or God himself. But it was more than he thought he would ever be able to see. And he declared, surely we are going to die with what has taken place here today and what we have seen. Somewhere along the way, he thought that would be it, and it was over. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us his wife's name. We just know that Manoah was there, and we could call her Mrs. Manoah, but I would like to believe that her name was Elizabeth, even though the Bible doesn't tell us her name, because it just fits very well with the story, because I could just see Manoah coming in like the great theologian of the church, Fred G. Sanford, with his hand over his heart saying, "This is it, Elizabeth. This is the big one." And you have to have been around a little while to be able to get that and know who I'm talking about. But anyway, so we don't really know what her name was or what happened there, but he was wrong in his assessment of things altogether. And something that is incredibly unusual takes place here. Something that is hard to relate to. And you're going to hang with me to get this, because something happens in the story that is very difficult for any of us to understand or to be able to get. And that is, we have this situation right here in the scriptures where the husband is wrong and the wife is right. Now, let me just let that hang there for a second. I know, even as I say it, you probably can't even understand how that could even be in there. How could that even be true? How could that even be in the Bible? I mean, can you imagine such a thing as a scenario where the husband is wrong and the wife is right? That's never happened in my house. That's never happened with us. And before church, Hector and Melissa are in here. I talked to Hector before church, and I asked him, "In all your years of marriage, has it ever happened that you were wrong and your wife was right?" He told me that it has never happened even one time, not even one time. We didn't really have that conversation, actually. But I did have it with Raul, and Raul told me that it had never happened with he and Melinda. It's never happened that he was wrong and she was, well, maybe he didn't really tell me that either along the way. But that is the story that happens here where he's wrong and she's right. And poor Manoah, it's recorded right there in the Holy Scriptures. I mean, when we get to heaven and you're walking around one day on the streets of gold beside the crystal sea and you'll see somebody and you'll say, "Hey, how are you?" And you'll introduce yourself and he'll say, "I'm Manoah." And we'll say, "Oh, you're the guy who was wrong and his wife was right." It was right there in the Bible. We will always remember him from what happened there. But you know what, though? Manoah's not the first guy to look at his life and look at his situation and completely assess it incorrectly in the way he saw things. He saw things one way, and they weren't that way at all. In fact, he's not the first person to look at his circumstances and come to the conclusion, "I'm done," when in fact, he wasn't done at all. He wasn't done at all, but he saw it that way. Our circumstances will not mirror his, but it doesn't change that things can occur in our lives. Sometimes it's through our own sins. Sometimes it's through our own shortcomings, our own faults. Sometimes it's through a loss of a job or a business could fail or some decision that some other individual makes that was evil over our lives. There's so many things that could happen in our own lives as well that could bring us to the place where, like him, we could stand there and think, "I'm doomed, I'm done. I'm done in this situation." And when that happens, you might not believe that you're physically going to die, but we could believe that the promise of God is going to die in our lives. Because Manoah had been given a promise. He had been given a promise from God. I'll never forget the first opportunity that was offered to me to pastor a church. Of course, I've pastored for many years now, and pastored for, you know, close to 23 years in New York, and in fact, I'm only 2 Sundays away from 2 years in Silver Spring. That's kind of hard to believe, but I've pastored for a long time now. I was on staff in a church for several years before then as an associate pastor, and when I was on staff of that church, I had the first opportunity that ever came for me to pastor a church where I would be the pastor, not on someone else's staff, and I was excited, and it was a unique opportunity. It was going to be a brand new church. There were a group of people being sent out from one church. It was a real positive thing to begin this new church and a new community, and there was a large financial grant that was a part of it to help fund it, and I was excited, and it was all going to come together, and I'll never forget, literally in just days prior to the launch of it, having the carpet just yanked right out from under my feet, and the whole thing fell apart. The grant was lost. It got pulled. People that needed to approve it, someone who needed to, at the last moment, changed their mind and said no, and the whole thing collapsed. And I'll never forget leaving a meeting where all that happened when it was just about to start and going home and going to my bedroom in our home. And as a full-grown man, I mean, I'm married with little kids, just sitting on the floor in the bedroom and just beginning to cry, just weeping with what just happened. Like, what just happened in my life, in our lives, ours as a family, to us here? And God, I thought this was your call on my life, and this is what you wanted me to do. And I said yes to you, and I was following you. And now, God, the promise is gone, and the promise is lost. And things like that have happened in your life and mine. They would be different circumstances along the way. But there's a word here that is spoken to Manoah, and it's spoken by his wife to him in such a circumstance where he has a promise over him, and he assesses the whole situation wrong then, of thinking that nothing is going to come to pass. And there's a word that is spoken here in Judges chapter 13 by Samson's mother that it carries as much weight in 2020 as it ever did millenniums ago. Her words are recorded as a response to all who would ever believe that God was finished with them, or that hope was lost in any situation. And her message was this. I want you to catch this. It was, Manoah, if God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice. If God was going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our offering, she says to him. You see, Manoah had been told that something was coming in the future, and now he believed he was never going to see it. And I want you to catch this as a first thought today, as a first thought. If God, I want you to receive this in your own life. If God was going to allow your future to die, he never would have accepted the offering. I want you to catch that. If God was going to allow your future to die, he never would have accepted the offering. You could ask, well, what is my offering? For Manoah, his offering was right there in the text. It was a burnt offering. There was a grain offering. But Manoah and his wife, they knew the offering had been accepted because they hadn't simply burned something, but they were actually given this awe-inspiring sign where there was an angel that visited them, and when they offered up that burnt offering, the flames went up, and the Bible says that the angel went up with the flames to go to God. So they had this incredible demonstration for them of, if you had you been standing there, you would say, well, I think we did all right. God accepted the offering. They knew that along the way. Now, fortunately for us, we don't offer burnt offerings. To God be the glory, that's the old covenant. We don't have to do that any longer. We don't offer grain offerings any longer. And we could think, so what's my offering? And when we come to church, we receive an offering. This morning, many of you have given online. You mail your offerings in. We receive an offering. But that can't be compared to the offering that Manoah and his wife gave. That's a completely different thing. That offering is not the same thing that they did, because the offerings that they gave were to make peace with God and to connect with God. And we don't offer anything like that today. In Romans 12, we read that we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices to God. We read in the Bible where we bring a sacrifice of praise to God, but that doesn't compare to what Manoah was offering. That kind of sacrifice, that kind of offering, that isn't compared to what Manoah was doing. Because Manoah was making an offering to make peace with God, to connect with God. Our offerings would not be the same as that. Nothing like that would compare to it. In fact, there's only really one thing that could compare to it, only one sacrifice that could compare to it, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus' sacrifice is the offering that compares to Manoah's offering. Let me read you a passage from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, it says this. But when the priest, it's talking about Jesus, when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, come on, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now you better stay with me right now. If you're with somebody, tell them, Pastor's talking about me. Not me, you. He's talking about us. All right, he's talking about us. Jesus did this for us. Jesus did this for you. Jesus did this for me. We don't offer sacrifices anymore, of course, because Jesus offered one sacrifice for all. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the old covenant. He was the fulfillment of it. And he did this for those who are being made holy. That's us. Hebrews 10:18 says, where there has been forgiveness of sins, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Come on. We have been forgiven of our sins by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus went to the cross and hung there for you and I, forgiveness of sins was purchased. We have that now, that promise is ours, praise God. And if you say, well, I haven't received forgiveness of sins, you can by accepting Jesus as the Lord of your life, asking Jesus to forgive you of all your sins and wash all your sins away. That is the only sacrifice that you need today, is the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross. That is it. Jesus is the sacrifice. So what is comparable in our lives to that sacrifice back then is the sacrifice of Jesus as an offering unto God our Father. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Come on, you remember it. Many of you remember it. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain, praise God. And just as there was an ascension at Manoah's sacrifice, there was an ascension with Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus was buried in a tomb for 3 days. He rose from the dead. But then we also know that there was an ascension as well. It's in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It says this, Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice. Now hear me, church. God wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice. God wouldn't have forgiven you of your sins. God wouldn't have washed you and made you new. God wouldn't have given you a new life in him to then take away from you the future that he's promised you. He wouldn't do it. Just as he wouldn't do it with Manoah and Manoah's wife, he wouldn't do it with you either. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Manoah's wife was right. He wouldn't. God had revealed things to them. God had promised them things for their future that would come, and that wasn't going to change. So catch this second thought. This second thought. These last couple are going to be very quick. And that is, if God was going to allow your future to die, he never would have shown you things. He never would have shown you things. Do you realize how powerful God is? Do you realize how awesome God is? I mean, our God is omniscient. Our God is all-knowing. God, we serve a God that never reacts to anything. He only acts. That's all God does. Because our God knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things. God always knows what's going to occur. So this God who is all-knowing, this God who is omniscient, this God who is aware of all things, he's the God who shows us things and reveals things to us in our lives. That's our God. The same God who revealed things to Manoah and his wife is the God who has shown you things in your life where you knew that God had promised something in your heart that was going to come in your life as well. Well, here's the thing. If God was going to allow your future to die, why would God have shown you things? He wouldn't have, is the question to that. There are things in your life, there are things in my life, there are things in all of our lives where God has revealed them to us along the way, and maybe it's come through a specific passage of Scripture, maybe it's come through a still small voice that God has spoken to our heart, but there are things where God has revealed things to us where we know, God's going to do this in my life. And then if we're not careful, things happen in our lives where we like Manoah, we in our lives could also say, you know what? It's not going to happen. Something happened, and now what I was shown was going to happen, it's not going to happen. That's going to die now. Listen, whenever you think that thought, Manoah's wife's words are just as powerful today as they were then. Why would God have shown you that? Why would God have shown you something ahead if he was just going to let it die? That wouldn't happen with our God. They had a divine visitor one day in their account that had revealed to them what was going to happen. A barren woman was going to have a son, and no ordinary son. He was going to be a judge. He was going to be a deliverer to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. They had been shown things that were going to come in the future in their lives. They were shown what was to come. Manoah, why would God show us this if he was going to let us die? Why would we be told we were going to have a child if it wasn't really going to happen? But God wasn't wrong, because God is never wrong. Come on, that's a great place for an amen wherever you are. God's never wrong. God knows the end from the beginning. He's not. God is never unaware of what's to come. You remember men like Joseph. He's a great example of it. Not Joseph, Jesus, his earthly father, but Joseph from the Old Testament. He was shown things through a dream. He was revealed something through a dream of what was to come in his life. God could still show you something in a dream. Now, if you get a dream and you believe it's from God, you make sure it reconciles with the Word of God and the Scriptures. And it's not just that you ate pepperoni pizza too late the night before and had some crazy dream or whatever. Now you think it's God. So you know it's him. But he was shown a God dream of what was to come in his life. But then we know what followed it, the pit, to prison, to slavery, to everything lost. But God wasn't letting his future die. That wasn't what was happening. God was still directing his path. God was still directing him to where he wanted him to be in his life. And Manoah's wife's rhetorical question is just as true today, and the answer is just as obvious. God wouldn't show you things. God wouldn't have done it to Joseph. God wouldn't have done it to Manoah. God wouldn't do it to you and then let it die. And just a last thought that's connected to that one to pull this together, and that is, if God was going to allow your future to die, he never would have told you things. We've been told many things. The Bible tells us that the words of the Lord are pure words. They're pure words. The psalmist declared, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. Whatever God says happens, it always comes to pass. When God says something, it is not ordinary. The woman's visitor told her that the child she would bear would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. How was that going to happen if they were dead? The woman's visitor told them, and here's how you're going to raise him. How were they going to do that if they were dead? It wasn't going to happen. There was no way. How were they going to follow God's instructions? God knows the plans he has for us. He has a plan for our future. God would not tell you something and then let it die, because nothing happens that throws God or gets him off. He knows. Now, the devil is a liar, and the devil is the father of all lies, as Jesus said he was. We know that about him. He roams around like a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I want you to catch this. The devil can't steal the plans of God. The devil can't kill the plans of God. The devil can't destroy the plans of God, because they are God ordained. So since he cannot kill, steal, or destroy what God has ordained for my life, he has to try to steal, kill, or destroy my hope and my faith in my God and what God will do. Come on. This is what happened with Manoah here. He can't change the plan. what God says is going to come to pass, but he wants to come in to get us doubting and worrying and not trusting in our God along the way. He can't kill the future, so he'll want to kill the vision in our hearts. I mean, Manoah was told an amazing thing, that his son would be set apart and unique, and he witnesses the ascension in the fire, and still he doubts in his set of circumstances and thinks we're doomed. That doesn't reconcile with what he was told. I mean, can you imagine it as I close this? Can you imagine they're there? He kills the goat. They put the goat on the rocks on the altar that they've built. They light it on fire as a sacrifice. The flames go up. The angel comes over and goes up in the flames. They're sitting there. They're awe-inspired. It's amazing. And when it's done and the flames die back down, and Manoah actually turns to his wife and says, "We're doomed." And his wife's response clearly is, "Did I just miss something? What would have ever brought you to that conclusion? God accepted the sacrifice. What do you mean we're doomed? He accepted what we offered. That would never happen if we were doomed." Church, these are challenging days. I mean, come on. There's never been a year like 2020, probably in any of our lives. I know we've all been through tough years and tough things along the way, but we kid about it at times, but it really is. It's been a crazy era of time to live through, and things that have gone on, and it's like the year of all years, but God is God. And his words are true, and his promises are yes and amen. And I know things are tough, but I want you to remember this. God accepted the sacrifice. Jesus paid it all. The Bible never says her name, but what she says is true. Why would God accept the sacrifice if he was then not going to fulfill what he said that he would do? You say, "Well, Pastor, I've really blown it along the way. I don't know if God will forgive me of my sins." God accepted the sacrifice. He wouldn't accept the sacrifice and then not offer the forgiveness that it was promised with it. He accepted the sacrifice. Jesus paid for it. We saw it right there in the scriptures in Hebrews. He accepted that as a sacrifice for it. If you ever think, "I wonder if God will really fulfill the promises of his word in my life," God accepted the sacrifice. He accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We need not doubt if God will now fulfill what he said he would do. He accepted that along the way. Jesus is your sacrifice. God received your offering. He made you new. He gave you new life. He has shown you and told you things. God wouldn't do that and then take those things away. I want to encourage you, no matter what's happening right now in your life, and this is not just a feel-good message, this is a God's word message that I want you to hold on to. To whatever God has promised you, whatever you're believing for God, believing God for in your life, whatever promises are in God's word, and you think, "Man, but you know, I believe God promised me this, but then I lost my job. I believe God promised me this, but then I got sick, and God's word promises this, but then this happened, and I thought that God accepted the sacrifice. Jesus was sufficient to pay for everything. He wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice if he wasn't going to do what he said he was going to do. When we doubt, we need look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ to know, no, God's word is true. God will fulfill it in my life. He's paid for everything. Hallelujah. I want to pray over you right now. I want to pray over you right now. I want to pray for just whatever is in your heart, whatever you're believing God for your faith in it. Maybe along the way you've thought like Manoah for something in your life of, "Man, I don't know if this is going to happen." Now's the time to believe God, to believe in God and reaffirm that faith in him, that we want to always keep strong in him. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the example, Lord God, from so many years ago, from this scenario here. I know this is not just a fun, exciting story for us to read about. This was a foreshadowing of what Christ would come to do. And our sacrifice has been accepted as well through the cross of Jesus Christ. So God, we know forgiveness is ours and always will be. Your grace is sufficient. We know that the promises of your word are yes and amen. Circumstances do not change that. You accepted the sacrifice. So we will continue to walk by faith and believe for your word to be fulfilled in our lives. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now let me say this as I close. If by some chance you're watching this and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins and invited Jesus to come into your heart, listen, that sacrifice was for you. That sacrifice of the cross was for you. It was for you. And if you say, well, would God really forgive me? Would God really forgive me of my sins? Would God really wash all my sins away and change me? And would God really give me a new life in Him if I ask Him? The answer to your question is this. Why would God accept the sacrifice if He wasn't going to do what He said He would do? Of course He will. Of course He will. You put your faith in Him. You ask God to forgive you of your sins. You invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You commit your life to Him. Live for Him. Praise God. And God's promises over you are just as yes and amen as they are in anybody else's life. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. And if you make that decision today, message us. Facebook message us. Email us at church@silverspringag.org. Let us know so that we can help you in your walk with God as well. God bless you, church family. I'm so glad we were able to connect in this way today. Have a tremendous week in Christ Jesus.